So, we are back for the second half of the podcast with Jinesh Babu. Before we continue, I would like to address that the sound quality for these episodes have been a little inconsistent. And that is completely my fault, since I'm still trying to figure out this whole podcasting thing. I hope to get better in the future episodes, but hang in there with me. That said, we reach the business end of our conversation with Jinesh, where we begin with a bizarre story in senior school and then go on to learn a little bit about why we are the way we are. Okay, now let's go to our senior school, because I feel like I have one fun story which I've told you, but I kind of want, I don't know if you remember. So your class teacher was my math teacher, okay?
Yeah.
And she hated all of us equally.
Yes.
Right. And I don't think she even knew my name even then, right? She just knew my face and she didn't like my face, right? Just for legality purposes, we are not using names here, but... There was definitely one very good friend of ours who had a Muslim name. This is how ridiculous. Like, you thought a teacher having a dream about her bike being stolen was crazy. This happened in front of us.
Yeah.
She's like, "What's your name?" And he says his name. I'll just tell you. The first part of his name, which will give you an understanding, which is Muhammad. Okay. So So he says his name. Like, and she keeps repeating the second name like that. Then he corrects her.
Mm.
And then she says the most bizarre thing I've heard in my life.
Mm.
She's like, "Are you Pakistani?"
I remember it.
And then
remember the controversy post that also.
Yeah, no, that happened. Okay, so he's like, "No, ma'am, I'm Indian, I'm not." I don't think he said I'm Indian. Also, he just said, "No, I'm not." Okay, which I think was already fine.
That was more of that person's character. Yeah.
It was. Yeah, he also was like, he was also shocked. He's like, "No, I'm not."
Yeah.
She's like, "Okay." Then she started teaching, writing something. She turns back. "But I really think you may be Pakistani." I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "No, ma'am, I am not Pakistani." Then I think for the first time in his life, he tried to ask her doubt. And she's like, "No, you're from Pakistan. I won't give you a doubt," or whatever. At that point, he gets up and he walks out of class, okay? And he's like, "Where are you going?" He says, "Ma'am, to Pakistan." In all this,
I remember this. Yes.
In all this, okay, we had one guy who had joined in ninth itself, but like a boarder and a tiny little boy from Sikkim or whatever. But he was full of angry and everything. He gets up, stands up, and points out, "What is your problem if he's Pakistani?" And she's like, "You shut up and sit down." He's like, "No, I won't." Then he turns to our friend and he says, "Be proud, man." This guy starts nodding back. We're like, This is how much unity we had even then. That was one of the funniest things I remember. Strangest things, but funniest things. Because that was also one of the rare times that I was inside the class in her class. Otherwise, like, I feel like many times in her class, like some days I would be like, "Today, please punish me."
I think that was uniform throughout 9, 10, 11, 12.
No, 11, 12, she didn't teach. Physics, we'd come to that. That's a whole different... But like, what was your memory of 9th and 10th? What is the craziest thing you did?
So 9th and 10th, actually, we had a good bond. So, I mean, school had, like, you know, back then they had, you know, various gangs. So every day was come to LCD, there's a fight happening. So it should always be a compromise and hardly any fights happening.
So LCD for everybody is what? LCD sounds like one fancy place, you know, TV screen and all that. No, LCD stands for Laval Road Coffee Day, which does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
There were mainly two groups who were always constantly fighting. And then there was our group. I think ours was more or less focused only on football. So we used to come in by, say, 7:15, 7:20 and start playing in 4:11. So it became such a thing that initially was like 5, 6 guys playing. Then, you know, towards 7:45, 7:50, when majority of the boys have already come to school, they would rather keep the bag next to the field, go play, and then go to assembly rather than keeping the bag in class.
I
So
was
it
one of them.
became kind of a thing. So that became a thing. And then, you know, white shoes, chalk pieces, dusters, all this were handy to keep the shoes white.
And this was the orange color football which Arjun had. No, it was a nice Nike orange football. So I remember that. And it was very nice of him that he never, like, you know, some other people who brought footballs would be like, it's my ball, and they'd pick who all can play with them. But he allowed everybody to play. That was very important. So, because I remember that. And I think I used to get at least 2 touches in a game, which was very big for me.
Yeah, because I mean, there were like close to like what, some 100 people running around behind the ball. So getting 2 touches in that itself was a big thing.
So no,
You
if
know,
you,
and
if more...
the moment you get the ball, that 10 guys running towards you. So
No, I didn't get the ball. I tackled someone and then I kicked it out. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, that I think 9th and 10th was fun mainly because we got to play a lot more, and football was you know, high time. So any time you get a break, be it 7:30 to 8 in the morning, short break, PT class, lunch break, post school, everything was football. So I think it also got us to get to know people from other class. So usually when
Exactly.
you're in one class, you don't really mingle much with others. But football is a sport. For a senior school was more or less getting to know other people also.
Football was our social tool, if you think about it in that front. And actually, it was, I think, that football culture, not just playing, but just the kind of inclusivity and the hanging out version of football is what I think even translated. What I think there was, see, there was, I think, a lot of, like you said, a lot of gang or like gang culture or dating culture or what, all the stupid things that happened in 9th and 10th, a lot of it got filtered out, but the football culture moved to 11th and 12th, which I think was so, like, for me, 11th and 12th was still my favorite 2 years of school. Because like it was for me almost zero drama, just a lot of fun. And like that's it. I think those are the friends I made who I'm still talking to, right? You're one of them over there. So like I think, and now that I never thought of it this way, but I think it was definitely the football culture, right? I mean, because even we as a class would just play football, whether we sucked or didn't, everybody would just go out and play. Like even PT, there might have been 3 kids who played cricket.
So I think 11th and 12th, even for me, was the best 2 years of college. Mainly because one was the staff were not very you know, torturous like what they were in middle school and senior school. So they used to let you be. So they used to give you some sort of freedom also. And plus the number of kids also were like, you know, less in number. So there was more bonding. And of course, yeah, football. So if 9th and 10th was Arjun bringing the ball, 11th and 12th was Aziz, who is bring the ball to play. But like you said, Aziz, you never used to let everyone play. He'd be like, bro, who's this guy? Why is he playing with us?
No, but he was very inclusive for our class. 12A, he allowed everybody.
Our class. 12 allowed. But when other people come, like, do you want to really make that guy play or what? I'm like,
Like
okay.
he wanted an almost an audition. He's like, you know, he's like, let's see how can he run fast, can he kick hard, what can he do, why is he here?
So yeah, 11th and 12th was good for football because I remember PT was mainly Pope and Pettigrew versus the rest.
Because you guys had a solid team.
Movind and Michael, Aziz, Abdul Mi, and so yeah, Ankush also is there.
No, goalkeeper. Football definitely was, I think, a very positive thing because there was so much other, like we said, right, negative stuff, unnecessarily negative stuff in 9th and 10th, which got cleared out when you came to ISC.
I mean, like, one was the filtering. So probably 9th and 10th, every class had like 50, 60 guys, and ISC is more of like 30, 35 people. So there was a lot of filtering, and it was good 2 years, I think, ISC. And also, our class teacher was pretty chill. So I think we had a better group also in general compared to the other classes. So there was more of bonding in 12A, 11A, 12A, when compared to the other classes.
I think the other class, I joke about it, but it's actually true because the other class Our class maybe had some three, four prefects or whatever it is, right? But I mean, we had enough prefects. We didn't have enough what you call office bearers, like head of this, head of that. I think Utkarsh was the only head of boarders or whatever.
Head of borders, yes.
Other class, I think they were just more aspirational. They took part in a lot more extracurricular, built their resume well. We, I think, just like to exist around each other, just hang out,
I
play,
think
make jokes
we were
and.
not really thinking about what to do after school. We are just focusing on these 2 years, have as much fun as possible. We are going to be done with school life, so let's just enjoy the moment and let's see what happens after that.
And don't fail. I think that was, I think there was a level of seriousness because we all made it to the science section, right? Science section means even if you had enough influence pulled in through different strings, you would have got at least 70 plus in your 10th boards, right?
Yeah,
Right.
I
So
think
like,
cutoff was 80-85 was cutoff for science.
but we know some people who didn't get that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So no, but I'm saying I think there was a level of seriousness when it came to, I mean, like it's not like we were trying to be extra nerdy or anything. We all knew that it was not cool to fail. We tried to pass.
True. Yeah.
And then
But I mean, if you actually look at it, 11th, the final PTA meeting, final exam PTA meeting. So tradition of cotton zones, I see, like, I mean, if you're failing there, they tend to detain you, so you can't really fail. But 11th, I think the number of people who fail in one subject was more than 20, so they were like, okay, we can't really detain the entire
So it's
city
not,
of them.
and this is not
So
physics or chemistry, right?
yeah, this is biology.
What
So
can we do?
yeah.
The teacher didn't have a bike to come and teach me, so how can you learn?
Yeah, true. Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay, so Janish, let's take a break at this point, and we will get back to some other bigger, broader questions right up from on the other side. So let's take a break.
Done, done. Yeah, cool.
House of Dentistry is a one-stop solution for all your dental needs with a complete digital dentistry system allowing you to experience a full range of dental care, making your visits short and pleasant. With a fully equipped setup, utilizing all the recent technology and a well-trained team of professionals, they have been able to provide the best dental care available in the heart of Bangalore. They are situated in Sadashiv Nagar with a team of 16 doctors and assistants. Come visit House of Dentistry today. And now, back to your podcast.
So, we're back from our break. I'm still talking to Jinesh. So Jinesh, we went through a lot of we went through some fond memories of school, which I think some which were common, some which were new about each other. I mean, a couple of key takeaway points I would take from that is something more. I mean, I'm trying to learn more and more about each person through these conversations. And I think football as a social tool was, I think, a very different perspective on how I looked at school. Because I think when it comes to school, it's we remember something a sport, and I think football was always there. The other thing which I learned, at least from the trends of what we spoke about, like territory, like you having these small battles with different sections and everything else. I think one thing I learned from you was you always take care of your own. So like like if you always protect your side. So I think when I finally came to your section in 11th and 12th, I became part of that. Like your protection in a way, like, and that's when we kind of, even now when we have friends and all that, we always take care of, if we count someone as our own, we always take care of them. So I think that's where it comes from, at least for you. And how, like, do you feel that way as well?
Yeah. Actually, whenever you get close to some guys, so you always try to keep them close in the pack and try to sort out issues if at all they have. So yeah, I think that bond made it such a way that not someone else tries to mess around. So you try to keep it, like you say, protection.
Do you think, like, I mean, I'm just guessing here, I don't want to put words in your mouth. But is that because you had an older brother and Rohit doing that for you, that you felt naturally you should do the same for others? Or why do you think you do that?
I was probably raised in such a way that, you know, you don't back down. So if anyone tries to mess around, you stand for yourself. And probably that was one of the natures also. And also when you had people who you knew would come for your help. So I think that sort of rubbed off onto me, and I tried to follow the same. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So what was your first don't back down memory that you can think of?
I think probably in I think third or fourth, if I'm not wrong. So we're playing, I think it was in third, yeah. So third, we were more into basketball rather than football at that time. And I remember, like, I think 2 or 3 years senior to us. So these are basically guys from middle school, and we were in junior school. So they were playing basketball in the same court. And then, you know, they tried to mess around saying, like, go, we are playing here, don't come this side, you know. So, I mean, like, we just stood by a ground and saying, like, you know, like, what is your pop's school or what? So, classic cotton slang. And then those guys are like, you know, I think 3 or 4 of them. So they started pushing and shoving. So we pushed them back. And I think it got into a fight where one of those guys was short. So I picked him and I kicked him. And everyone was like, oh, he hit a middle school guy. And then the other guys were like a little bit shocked that, you know, junior school guy got sight and hit the middle school guy, and they didn't really come back after that. So I guess sort of it rubbed on into the other guys also saying, like, okay, fine, we can fight back. So it's not much of, you know, entertain to bullying. So if anyone really tried, so I used to give it back.
So like they almost were like, now they were kind of worried if it backfires on them, it'll be a bigger shame. So they walked off.
Yeah, so they walked off. And plus, they were like, what, 3 or 4 guys, and no one really noticed. So I don't think they would have gone back and told also that, you know what, unique guys hate us. So I mean, it was a matter of pride. So they never really came back also. I mean, they can't come back with 10 guys saying, like, these kids hit me. So
you can't, you can't bring pull as a middle school guy to hit more junior school guys. No, that's embarrassing. Yeah.
So that was sort of very, I think, outside school also, like, you know, in our street when we used to play cricket and stuff. So when slightly senior guys tried to mess around, we used to now stand our ground and say, like, boss, you're no one here to dictate terms. So,
How does that trait or that aspect of your life reflect now in your present day? Do you, like, what is an example of never back down these days?
So in terms of profession, I don't think much, because no one really comes directly to mess around. I mean, even if they do try, it would probably be, you know, behind your back or something. But classic thing would be road rage. So I mean, like, you know, people tend to see, if, you know, especially auto guys, you know, they try to mess around saying, you know, we are 2 or 3 numbers, so we can do whatever we want. Don't mess around with us, we'll hit your car, all those kind of stuff. So we don't really get intimidated as such. So when you stand your ground, they also, you know, tend to mellow down, say, okay, fine, let's leave it and walk away.
A lot of confidence. And I think the earlier wins, like with sports and everything else, has fed you confidence in the beginning itself, right? So I think that kind of feeds in different aspects of your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just went back to sports. You said that little trophy you have is still with you. Can you go back to how did you win it?
I think that was your LKG or UKG, if I'm not wrong. There was a running race, and also there was some other sport, I think long jump or something. Some jump was there, I remember. But running race was there, and there was another sport. So both the sports, I came first. So that is what they gave as, you know, overall champion of whatever. I think it was intra-class. So it was not like inter-class. So in your class, whoever is the fastest, they used to give a trophy for that. So that is still safely kept in the cupboard.
Nice, nice. And like, do you like, so I mean, I know it's safely kept, but like, I know, and it's a little unfair to ask how you felt in LKG, right? But more about like, do you kind of, when you look at it, like, what are the feelings, what are the thoughts and feelings you get when you look at something like that?
I mean, apart from the trophy, there were a few medals also for the sports, mainly for the running. So when you look back, I mean, just get that whole rewind as to, you know, how you won the medal and what you did and what was that particular moment of winning joy. So that is what basically brings it back. And of course, yeah, you can show off to your nephews and nieces saying that when they are studying the same school, you can tell them, let's see, I won all this when I was studying there, what have you won? So you can try to put one over them.
Yes, Nate. Then what about, so that was like, I'm going back and forth here. So that was in LKG, but 10th standard, end of 9th, early 10th, you were made a prefect.
Yeah. So coming to that. So actually, I was not, see, I'll be honest, I was not really aware that I was going to become a prefect, not because I was something extraordinary in studies or something. That was purely because the principal was in good terms with my dad, and also my brother was a prefect. So one of the criteria of selecting a prefect would be if immediate family was a prefect during their tenure. So that was one criteria which they looked at. And then they saw that, I mean, there's nothing over, this controversial that I had done, which can, you know, probably question the authority of giving prefect to this guy. So I still remember the maths teacher's reaction when they were calling out the names for prefect. So she was calling out the names, and I mean, for everyone who she called out, she smiled, mainly because she gave the name.
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't give my name. And when my name was read out, she was shocked. Okay, so she was like, how did this guy land up getting prefect? So I was like, when I was shocked, I was like, really, my name? How did my name come here? And then she was like, yeah, all the prefects, selected prefects have to go to the school hall. So there's a meeting with the supervisor and the principal. So after that, you know, I still remember most of these guys like, bro, how you became a prefect? What did you do? You paid under the table or what? I'm like, I didn't do any shit. This happened.
No. I mean, again, I think, again, right? That was a kind of a toxicity. When that was a bit of a toxicity, right? If you think, it was quite a toxic situation where we all who didn't become prefects would be like, hey, this guy got bribed and he did this, he did that, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which I mean,
One more thing was like, I mean, like you remember, right? 10th standard, I was mainly standing outside the class. So they, you know, you have the prefect's tie. So whenever another department or like another class teacher walks by, they look at the prefect and they're like, why is this guy standing outside? So yeah, even that was like one sort of like, no, like I've gotten into the shit where I've become a prefect and now I'm getting into all sort of mess. And yeah, so like you said, yeah, with this toxic thing also, there like some people were, I mean, probably they didn't tell me directly, but yeah, I could make out that some were not really fond of my role as a prefect.
No, the reason I'm asking, I'll tell you why I'm bringing this whole thing up, right? And I think I've never spoken to you about it, even though we've hung out many times, right? Okay, so 9th and 10th, at least, let me put it this way, at least by middle of 9th standard, I knew that prefect was not a chance for me. Like, I'm done. Okay. I was hanging out with, can't call them wrong crowd, but definitely, like, not the right company to, like, be called a prefect or whatever it is, right? And my family didn't have for any kind of influence over the school, and for whatever reason. So 10th for me was like, dude, get good marks and try to come back to ISE. And then basically 11th, I just did everything I could in my life to like to become a prefect, right? Like one thing I have, which a lot of people don't have, and I feel like even you might have this without even asking you, is that I didn't miss school too often. I think from 6th to 12th, I've taken 3 days off.
Yeah, so my dad was pretty strict with me going to school regularly. So I think my attendance, most academic years were 100%. Probably, you know, only if like I'm literally down with heavy fever or something.
Yeah,
that's
same,
the only
same.
Time I had to skip school. Otherwise, yeah, more or less, it was 100% attendance.
11th, I had to take one day off because I broke my hand playing football.
Yeah, that I remember.
Yeah. No. So I never miss school. So in 11th, like I tried to go for all these extracurricular stuff. I tried to study well. I never tried to annoy any teacher. And even after all that, they didn't make me a prefect, okay? So then I was like, oh, what is this? I put in everything. So like, and then there are two theories on why I didn't become a prefect in 11th, which I enjoy telling, which I've told you this, right? One is, but I'll tell others. One is apparently the process is that your name goes one by one. The class teacher will say all the names, and all the teachers who are involved will say yes or no. And I'm not going to say any name. I got this from, I'm not going to use names, but the physics teacher of our class said, not for no for me. Okay.
Got
And
it.
I was told about this by another teacher who taught commerce, but never has never taught me in my life. But because we hung out and we speak Kannada, we're friends. That is
Yeah, I
version one.
understood.
Okay. Now the second theory is our teacher, our class teacher, didn't know how to didn't remember names very well. Even for the 11th and 12th, he called me Nitesh instead of Nikhil. No, yes, Nitesh, how are you? Like, no, sir, Nikhil. Yes, that's what I meant. Okay. So, and it so happened the guy after me in the roll number was named Nitesh. Okay. And he became a prefect, bro.
I think the second theory would be more valid in your story, at least. Yeah, second theory holds good for you.
No, but the reason I'm sharing all this is because going back to when you became a prefect, of course there was speculation on like because like in my theory, you and I were both standing outside at the same time. So if I'm doing what you're doing, why didn't I become a prefect? You know what I mean? But so there was a bit of that. But and I'm so like from my side, as a human being, even now, like we will. It's the easiest thing to do in life is to just justify saying that, well, he had this and I didn't have that. That's why he got that, or whatever it is, right? So let's say, I mean, if somebody lives in the U.S., lives in the U.S., like, I mean, like in my case, there'll be times people be like, oh, lucky bro, your dad sent you to America and all that. Then first 10 years, I got super guilty. Then that 11th year, I was like, who told your dad to not work hard enough to put you to the U.S.?
So,
Correct. No. Yeah.
I think 10th, also 10th, the number of prefects were more because there was a huge bunch to select from. So, even if my name came in that list, probably I would have been third choice or something, and then it must have been pushed on to the first page,
No, no,
mainly
no,
because
no, no,
of
no. So, Jinesh, you know what I meant? It's not about the validity of you. It's not about that as much as you reacting to people like me saying this throughout your 10th standard. Like, how did you handle that? How did you feel
So
like when someone said that? Yeah.
initially, probably first 2 weeks, I was do I really deserve to be a prefect? Because I knew I didn't do anything great to be a prefect. But then after some time, when people started asking did you influence and influence, and they kept calling out. So I was like, yeah, bro, my dad had influence. Now what for you? Your dad, like how you just said, right? Your dad didn't have that much influence, so damn sad for you. At least my dad has a influence, so I got it done. Now shut your mouth and go. So like I said, that goes back to me standing up for myself. So initially it was a little bit of guilt trip that okay, probably someone else who deserved it, I must have taken it away from them. But yeah, later on I was just like, okay, let's just deal with it.
Okay, so I was just curious because like in my head it's and I think about this in a broader theme, right? So many times I will look at somebody and judge say that, oh, you know what, they're like whatever, right? Like let's say someone is like married to someone very good looking, but it was I'll be like, hey, but arranged marriage, of course you have got this or whatever. Like there's always a justification on why someone has got something you don't have, right?
Got it.
So at least like I think I'm always kind of curious to learn what other people would feel. Like the people on the other side would feel it does, so it does affect you for a bit, and but then after a point, once it like takes up most of your time, you're like, this is not worth my time, so let me just get going with my life.
Just a small fraction when you start feeling like what have I gotten into, but then after that it just dies down and you just handle it and get over it. So yeah.
Let me ask you a very different question here. You're a dentist now, but What did you want to be while growing up?
I did have a slight ambition to become a pilot, but then physics was the main criteria in that. So I knew that I wouldn't really succeed with clearing the exams for physics. So I pushed it aside. But dental was also one of the things I wanted to be, mainly because I had first-hand experience where I saw how my dentist was treating and how he was able to change my smile. I don't know if you've seen me as a middle school, like how messed up my teeth were and how much he could change it and, increase the confidence. So in that aspect, I think, being a dentist was also one of this one. Probably pilot was also one of my ambitions to become, but
how come pilot? But how come pilot? What was the inspiration for that?
So I was fond about this whole jet and super jet, fighter jets and all that. So that as a child, I was interested in that. So even when you see two, three flying over the sky, you run to the terrace and have a look. You're like, okay, fine, something fascinating. So probably that childhood fantasy of seeing jets go by and wanting to fly one day. Probably that was the only thing that made me want to become a pilot.
And like this is, when you're talking about jets, you saw in real life, not on TV or something.
No, real life. So but that time HAL Leopard was there, right? So it was more or less close by to HSR. So they used to literally fly by every half an hour. So yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Like if the plane has to turn left also, it has to go up to HSR a little bit in turn, right? So
yeah. Yes.
So makes sense. Okay, nice. And then like, have you ever did you ever like try playing that flight simulator and all those games?
I did. So back then I think Top Gun had their own game. So,
oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And that, so I used to always fly, keep playing that game. So there were always various missions and stuff. So
Top Gun or F-22 Raptor?
No, Top Gun also had their game. F-22 was there, but Top Gun was more like, mission savvy where you go and bomb up places and stuff. So yeah, I used to play those games. So even though those were fun.
Yeah, see, that's, I never knew that about you. I thought like in my wildest dreams, I thought you wanted to be a footballer or something at some point, but never pilot.
Footballer, see, I mean, even if I wanted to be, India didn't really have much of a scope. And even though there is family line who have tried their best to be in football, they played for state and this one, but it didn't really materialize.
Wait, you have family members who played for state?
Yeah, two of my uncles used to play for the football team, like, I think Santosh Trophy.
Yeah, of course.
So they all played and they didn't really get much of recognition by playing, even if they won. So my dad was like see what you want to become. If you want to become something small, then yeah. So I was not really fond about becoming a footballer. Maybe if we had the academy like how Barca or Real Madrid was there in India or something, then yeah. But yeah, I think now it is much better scope for football than what it was back then.
So you just played football for fun because you enjoyed the sport, not with like, I mean, you made peace with
mainly for,
yeah.
I played it for fun and I liked it. And even I still do play it. So at least try to play at least once a week here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it keeps your mind fresh. Stress buster. Yeah.
So I think I've covered most of the things I had planned to discuss with you. I'm just a little, I'll keep this open now. Was there something else you feel, any memories that come to your mind you want to share, or do you feel like there was something you wanted to cover which I missed?
I mean, what was your fondest memory from school, apart from IIC?
Apart from IIC, IIC was my favorite. My fondest before, okay, see, that's have to think now. In 10th, I think once I got my hall ticket, I was like, I felt a little invincible. I felt like I can't get punished. I can't get thrown out of class. I can actually just show up and write my board exam if I have to.
Yeah.
I think at least...
It was a thing also back then that, the selected people will be given hall tickets. So it was kind of a little bit pressure situation also where you get the hall ticket. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, no, I think the thing is, like, for me, I think 11th was the first time. See, for me, 11th was like a restart, like a refresh, a restart. It allowed me to, like, get rid of everything, which was, because I feel like there was a lot of bullying, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of anxiety in, like, from till 10th standard. So I feel like when I got my hall ticket, I was like, you can't touch me anymore. I think, like, that was the first time. I think for me, like, my most fond memory in 10th was more relief. Right. I think because otherwise, for my upbringing was like, always you had to do well, you had to do this, you had to do that. I'm sure if I didn't have 11th and 12th, I could have found more sadder, happier memories. But I think because 11th and 12th was so good, more times I just block what happened in 10th. I think 9th and 10th, the shame of being punished before is now one of my favorite memories, because, like, again, we all used to be punished around the same time. So,
yeah.
That's what I remember. Yeah. But what else? Anything else which you missed? You think we could have discussed?
I don't remember if you remember this in third standard, where supervisor. So there's a backstory to this. So what happened was, we were just randomly just walking around first level during lunch break. I think this was third or second, if I'm not third, I guess. And we were just walking around, and then he's like, let's play a prank on someone and just look up the tree and be like, bro, snake is there. So then, we started just looking up the tree for some time, and then a few other guys end up seeing what we're looking at, and then they're like, what are you looking at? I'm like, no, there's a snake up there. So then they're like, what snake? And then it is, you know, right? Everyone will start piling up and looking at this.
I think so I also came
bell rang. That's big bell rang. Still people are trying to find out where the snake is. So while these guys are searching, we went back to class. Okay. So this rumor spread that there's a snake traveling on the tree. Okay. And then supervisor came, blasted all up and said that magazine, the assembly, they announced, like, we want to know who are those two idiots who told us there's a snake on the tree.
No, but that's actually a very clever prank if you think about it. Snakes can be on the tree. I'm so scared of snakes, like, even now. So first of all, I was scared to leave the class. Like, I think I went to the field. I don't think I went to the field on my own until like fourth or fifth standard.
Okay.
So, like, only in PT. So, like, now, like, for me to step out of class, only there's a snake on the tree means I was like, no, I'm staying inside and I'm not even going out. I didn't crowd up to the tree, but I know people came back late and say, like, you know, you heard there's a snake there. And I'm like, why are you guys so excited about it? Run away from it. Why are you there?
So, yeah, I mean, there was one memory which I still don't forget.
So it was you. I'm going to find out. I'm going to ask these questions to more people I talk to see what memories they have on that. But again, right, different approaches. Even though, like you said, I think everybody did the same thing. But why they did it and how they did it is very different. And that's, I think what school did is, like, we all wore similar uniforms, wrote same books, this and that. But I'm just trying to understand everything other than what is common. So our different approaches is what I'm really excited to learn about in this whole process. So,
yeah, sort of like that movie Vantage Point.
Yeah.
Same story.
different points of view. You were not in the car when we came late for that movie, but that's a story that cannot be said on record. That's all I would say. Yeah. There are implications. Done.
I know.
Done, Janesh. This was a great conversation, a great chat. I think this is the calmest conversation we have had. And I think the most important thing in this conversation was we spoke about things we have never spoken about before. So we kind of learn a little bit more about each other. And I think we achieved that. So thank you for having agreed to do this podcast with me. And I hope to have you on a few more when we start growing this podcast a little more.
Thank you, Nikhil, first of all, bringing me onto this and sort of going back to school life and talking about various other things that we did and trying to know things that you have done and I never came across. So yeah, it was a good talk. And yeah, probably let's see if we can come back and discuss some more things in the future.
And that brings us to the end of this podcast. Sometimes words can only mean so much, but the intent carries a lot more emotion. I hope you had a good laugh, but also thought about friends who have backed you up to make you the person who you are today. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.